If you're an athlete, one of the best ways to improve your skills is to follow in the footsteps of those athletes and coaches who have made it happen. Welcome to Octane Athletic Performance, the home of world-class athletes and coaches sharing lessons learned, breakthrough moments, and their best advice to help you take your performance to the next level. Here's your host, Jason Benavidez.
Team Octane, today we have Dan DeFizio. He is a best-selling author of Beating Sugar Addiction for Dummies and other books. He's been featured on CNN's Fit Nation, Self Magazine, and a host of other media outlets. So welcome on the show, Dan.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate you asking me to come on.
Yes, absolutely. Personally, I have stopped having sugar for a period of time, saw some great results, so looking forward to sharing your wealth of knowledge, you know, with our listeners today. So before we get into that, we'd like to start with a quote. Is there something you have for us today?
Sure. One of my favorite quotes is from the ancient Greek scholar Aristotle. It's, "We are what we repeatedly do." And the idea behind that is, whatever you do most of the time, that's what you're like. That's what you get. So I really use that mentality and mindset as I go about my nutrition coaching with people. Whatever you do most of the time, that's pretty much what you get.
Right. I know that I've done it myself. You tend to compartmentalize, you know, things like, oh, well, I just had a cookie. You know, I just had a brownie, but what's the big deal? But that over time leads into extra weight gain and so forth, leads to bad habits.
Yeah, exactly. If you do that every day, then you end up with a problem. So one of the big things that I try to do when I coach people is, when you decide to do the brownie, for example, do it on purpose and make sure that it's an intentional decision and that fits into your plan and made allowances for that and you're making a purposeful decision. What tends to get people in trouble is the black or white thinking, when it's like, oh, I'm never going to have any sugar, I'm never going to have cake, I'm never going to have brownies, whatever. The words like never and no and always will get us in trouble most of the time. So if that's your mindset, then as soon as you have that brownie, then you failed and you've blown it, and then people generally tend to swing to the other end of the pendulum, and they're completely off the wagon, you know, off the rails.
Right. So when you are working with somebody like that, because I've definitely had people like that as well, how do you coach them?
Well, that's exactly what it is. You make sure that you do it on purpose. And I go back to the whatever you do most of the time concept, because if you eat smart, low-sugar, healthy foods 90% of the time, you're going to be fine. And when you decide to take your 10% and work it into your plan, whether it's brownies or my personal favorite is ice cream, that's my junk food of choice, you know, it's done on purpose. And it's not an all or nothing, you know, you never have any sugar or you don't pay any attention to what you eat and you're completely off the rails.
Definitely. What's your favorite ice cream?
Oh, man, there are so many kinds. If I had to pick one, I think I'm going to go with like an Oreo cookie ice cream, like a cookies and cream.
I know this is taking a little bit of a wrong turn for the interview, but it's okay. I just had some cookies and cream yesterday. First time I've had it probably in ice cream in general, like in 3 months. It was.
And you did it on purpose, and you didn't eat a half a gallon of it at one time, right?
Right. It was my wife, definitely her idea. It was amazing.
Fantastic.
So it's summertime. It's kind of when I let loose a little bit more. Is there anything else you want to add in the introduction that I gave you?
Well, let's see. I think since I'm new to your listeners, a little bit about me. I have been in the fitness and nutrition field since 1993. I've been around a while. I study this stuff every day still. I make my living in Nashville, Tennessee. I do one-on-one corrective exercise and rehabilitative exercise in the Nashville area. And I also spend a lot of time doing nutrition coaching and writing books, putting together nutrition courses for people who are interested in learning how to eat better, and in this case, learning how to get off sugar for good.
I've definitely, like I said, had some really good experiences with getting off sugar. Now, in your own words, can you tell us what is sugar addiction and why? What was your inspiration to go into this field?
Well, I would categorize a sugar addict as anybody who abuses sugar as a substitute for either comfort or uses it for convenience or uses it for energy because the rest of their nutrition is not good. So if you abuse sugar for comfort or convenience or energy, you probably have a problem that needs to be investigated. As far as why I got into the sugar addiction niche, it's a big health problem worldwide. sugar and processed foods are kind of ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And 50 years ago, you could get junk food, but you had to work for it. You had to go out of your way to find junk food. And nowadays, the tables have kind of flipped. It's like most of the easy convenience foods that are everywhere are garbage and filled with sugar and chemicals and stuff, and you kind of have to go out of your way to get organic, healthy food. So it's a little bit of a challenge, and so I recognize how big of a problem sugar and artificial foods have become for the worldwide health crisis, and I decided to do my very best, you know, in my own way to change the world one addict at a time.
That's great. I've seen the benefits myself. So what are sugars? Because this could, you know, include a lot. So when you specifically we're talking about...
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, if you will excuse me for getting a little scientific and nerdy, because I'm kind of a science dork when it comes down to it. Please tell me. But all carbohydrates that you eat, whether it's vegetables, fruits, grains, or processed sugar, you know, table sugar, candy, stuff like that, all carbohydrates are broken down in the digestive system into glucose. Glucose is really the only simple sugar that is usable by the cells in the body. So in and of itself, carbohydrates and sugars are not necessarily bad things. The problem is the total amount that we tend to eat and the kind of sugar that we eat. When you eat high fiber carbohydrates like vegetables, the fiber helps to slow down the release of the sugar into the bloodstream, especially when you eat it combined with protein and fat, which is what I try to coach people to do. The problem with sugar comes from if you eat a lot of what are called high glycemic carbohydrates. These are carbohydrates that break down in the digestive system very quickly, and so you get a big surge of sugar that enters the bloodstream. And that causes your body to release a lot of insulin to try to control the blood sugar levels. And high insulin levels over time create a host of problems, you know, diabetes, obesity, and metabolic syndrome, a lot of these lifestyle issues that we see in the general population.
And what are some of those high glycemic carbohydrates?
Generally, the processed sugars and the carbohydrates that don't have a lot of fiber, like your processed grains, you know, white flours, white bread, white rice, stuff that doesn't have the fiber and the nutrients in them. I think everybody generally knows that processed sugars like soda, candy, and cookies and stuff like that, we know that that's no good for us. One of the things that might be news, depending on how much your listeners read and study, fruit juice, even though it's high in nutrients, is also really high in sugar. So one of the things I try to suggest to people is don't drink your calories. Fruit juice just has too much sugar. It's almost like a soda. It has more nutrients than a soda, but from an insulin standpoint, this high glycemic value that we're talking about, stay away from fruit juice too.
Are there any natural fruits that you tell people to stay away from?
Not really. I mean, fruit in general is higher in calories and higher in sugar than vegetables, so you have to watch your portions overall. But in general, anytime you're eating a whole fruit, you know, an orange or an apple, blueberries, cherries or something, the nutrients that we get from those foods are really important. And the fiber that is contained in those fruits generally help to slow down some of the release. So as long as you don't eat too much of it, you know, you can't eat an enormous bowl of cherries or you can't eat 10 oranges at one time and expect not to have any blood sugar control problems. But if portions are reasonable and you try to combine your carbohydrates with protein and or fat, as I had mentioned before, then you should be all right overall.
Can you get specific on what those portions should look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, a serving of fruit is about a half a cup, which is a large handful. So if you're looking at, say, cantaloupe or strawberries or something, if you fill up your palm with a handful of fruit, that's a reasonable serving right there. And as I said before, I'm going to keep hammering this together. Every time you eat, you should have protein with your carbohydrate.
Yeah, I love that. So half a cup, and is that for pretty much across the board? Or is there, you know, like post-workout, male, female differences, or anything else we should keep in mind?
Well, if you want to get more technical, your post-workout carbohydrate consumption can be higher than you normally would have it because you've got an enzyme floating around in you when your muscles get depleted of the stored carbohydrates, the stored glycogen. It's called glycogen synthase. And you basically got about a half an hour after you work out, in order to take advantage of this glycogen synthase enzyme that's ready to gobble up all the carbohydrates and stuff it back into the muscle cells to refuel. So if you do have, if you feel like you have a need for like a larger portion of carbohydrates, or if you really are feeling like you got to get your ice cream fix, right after your workout is the best time to do that.
Absolutely. We're going to have a few people that are going to have a new post-workout.
Yeah, I can wait for all the emails I'm going to start getting. Dan DeFigio says, eat ice cream after your workout. That's going to be the takeaway.
Highly recommended.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
So what types of proteins or fats would you recommend pairing, say, with some fruit?
Any protein is fine. You know, a good serving of protein is generally between 20 and 30 grams for your average person. And good sources of protein are powdered whey protein, hormone and sugar-free, of course. Eggs are excellent protein sources. Fish, lean meat, poultry, also cottage cheese. Greek yogurt is a decent protein source, too. If you're vegetarian, you can look into soy also.
You say lean meat. Are there any meats that you recommend to stay away from?
In general, I'm a proponent of natural foods and whole foods. So when I suggest that people have, say, chicken or beef, the best versions of that are going to be organic, pasture-fed animals, because the health profile, the nutrition profile of foods from those type of livestock is a lot healthier than your feedlot industrial animals that are fed antibiotics and growth hormone and all that kind of stuff. So ideally, you'll have clean meat, not industrial meat.
And what about, you know, I know we did talk about moderation as far as, you know, eating, having the sugars in moderation maybe 10% of the time. But what are some of the pros and cons of just maybe giving up sugar?
Pros and cons of totally giving it up? Well, you know, the pros would be realistically and honestly, sugar, unless it's in the tiniest of amounts, is just not good for you. It causes glycated proteins and no good really comes of it. When you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it from a physiology standpoint, the less processed sugar you have, the better. So zero is the best number. However, we also have to look at the fact that we are humans and we're right. Talking about behavior, and food is supposed to be fun and enjoyable. So realistically, if you occasionally have a reasonable portion of a treat, you're not going to really get any serious health consequences from that. So the cons for cutting it out completely are that it's really not a sustainable and realistic plan to stay on for a long time. And the pros would be the less sugar you eat, technically, the better.
You know, somebody is trying to have sugar in moderation. Maybe they're looking for that 10%. You know, what are some of the first steps that we can take?
Yeah, actually, my newest course is exactly all about walking through those kinds of steps. It's called Sugar-Free Me, and the website is sugarfreeme.online. It's a little 7-module course, and I teach people basically how to go through the process of weaning yourself off of relying on sugar for comfort, convenience, or energy, and really put together a sustainable plan that you can use all the time. So the steps, in a nutshell, to kind of simplify it, because I don't want to talk for a half an hour about this course, the first step is really understanding that what we're trying to do is create a new normal. And the reason that most people fail repeatedly on diets or nutrition programs is because they fall victim to that all or nothing mentality that I had discussed a little bit earlier. You know, they try to get on a system that is very restrictive, and they use words like never and no and always and every time. You know, they tell themselves, on this program, I can never have cake. And so they try to stick with this until willpower eventually fails, or it's just such a miserable and unsustainable plan that they just go back to doing whatever they used to do. And that's what got you in trouble in the first place. So in the end, you haven't really changed anything. So that type of cycle tends to really get people frustrated, and repeated failure and yo-yo dieting and all the things that really have deleterious effects on people's overall health, and to be honest, with their emotions too. Because, you know, we're talking about health and depression and body image and all that kind of stuff. How many times do you think the regular person can try and fail at something before they start to really have some self-esteem problems about it? you know, I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but basically building the concept of
it. I think that's a great point. You know, if we create that perfection mentality, then it's going to lead to kind of beating yourself up because you really can't attain it. And that's actually something we talked about on the last podcast where we spoke to a sports psychologist and he basically hates perfection. He's actually worked with a lot of champions and he talked about, you know, is the enemy of outstanding, you know, is the enemy of great because you're going to be just beating yourself up. I think that's a really good point that you bring up. So how do you create that new normal that is better than what you're doing now without going over the top?
Sure, that's a great question. The first module in this course is really all about creating this new normal, and you just have to really focus on the mindset that most of the time you're going to make sensible, healthy choices, and sometimes you won't. It goes back to that whole, you know, whatever you do most of the time thing. So if you make smart choices, say 80 or 90% of the time, you're going to be fine. And those times when you don't or you end up in trouble due to, you know, circumstances sometimes get out of your control or maybe you have a particularly terrible day and you fall back into some old habit, you know, that's just one day out of the week or out of the month. So it really, you haven't ruined everything. You don't have to start all over. You don't have to, like, you haven't failed at this plan. It's just the fact that you got to get back to making smart, healthy decisions on purpose most of the time. So that's the first part, is accepting that mindset that you're not on a temporary plan, you're not on a temporary program. It's not something that you have to, you know, some grueling thing that you have to endure until you can get back to normal. What you're doing is making some changes. You just change how you eat. You plan and you do it on purpose, and that's just what you do from now on.
So how do you get people to hit that 80-90% as far as, you know, tracking goes? Do you have them track?
Absolutely. The whole nuts and bolts of Sugar-Free Me is the daily planning. I include menu planning sheets with that, and I give people a whole week's worth of planning to lay out every week so that they know in advance what they're going to have for breakfast, what they're going to have for lunch, where are your snacks, you know, what's for dinner, all this kind of stuff. I think people generally fall into the poor eating, whether it's from addictive sugar behavior or whether it's just from lack of planning, because they get reactive. They don't have a plan in place. People tend to be so busy and so stressed out that they just grab whatever they can grab, and they're not putting any thought, any foresight or any thought into what they're going to do to feed themselves. So a real crux of this plan that I have for folks is teaching them how to plan ahead so that they have healthy food ready to go, so when they get hungry or whether when they get home late from work or whatever, they've got a sensible option to have instead of grabbing whatever junk food might be available.
And how do you get someone to change their mindset from, you know, I just don't have time to plan, how can I just plan something that is going to be easier or easy for me to...
You know, it's interesting that that is one of the first objections that I get from clients is, oh, I don't have time for that. I said, all right, well, let's sit down and do it. Let's make a plan for the rest of the day right now. And we sit down, and it takes literally 45 seconds to plan the rest of the day. Yeah, pretty much, 45 or maybe 60 seconds. Yeah. Basically just show them how little time it actually takes. People tend to think, oh, it's too hard and it takes too much time, and it really doesn't. Especially after you do it for a couple weeks, it just becomes a part of your normal weekly or daily operation. I plan my food the day before. Like before I go to sleep, I know what I'm going to eat all day the next day. And it really only takes a minute.
So can you take me through that? So say I'm the client that says, no, I don't have time. I really don't.
All right. Well, let's plan. Right now, it is approximately 2:30 in the afternoon when we're having this conversation. So let's talk about your next snack. What have you got?
I didn't bring anything today with me.
Okay. We'll plan that for tomorrow. When you get home, what have you got ready for dinner?
I know I have some hamburger meat.
And where are your
vegetables? This is fun.
Yeah, what have you got vegetable-wise?
Vegetable-wise, I have some bell pepper. I have some, you know, just I don't know what I have at home.
Yeah, okay. Well, if that were the case, then we'd say, all right, well, here's what we need to do then, because you're not prepared. You don't have the food handy. So our first mission, instead of making a plan, is to actually, you know, get some. So we'll put together a shopping list. I might even take them to the grocery store. It just depends. I'm glad you brought that point up. I'm underlining it in the air right now as I'm saying it. You have to make healthy food easy. If you have to take a lot of time and go out of your way, people aren't going to do it. For example, cut up some fresh vegetables to have ready in the fridge when you need a quick vegetable for your meal or you need a quick snack. Don't make your starving brain choose between Oreo cookies, which you shouldn't have in the house for the record, and spinach, you know? Keep the junk food out of the house, make it hard to get, and keep the healthy food in the house so it's easy to get to and it's ready to go.
Love it. Underline that too. Get your imaginary pen or highlighter, whatever it is, and highlight that. Make it easy. I know that's one of my hacks that I do is I don't keep junk food in my house. Yes, we did get ice cream the other day and we drove to the grocery store on the way home, pick up that ice cream. You know, it's definitely not something I'm going to be doing every day.
But you brought up a really important point. You know, do not sabotage yourself by making junk food easy to get. If you have it in the house, either you or someone you love will eventually eat it. And that goes for healthy food and that goes for unhealthy food. So do not stock your refrigerator and your pantry with stuff that you really know you shouldn't be eating or you don't want your family to be eating.
And you might play the martyr and eat it because you don't want someone else to eat it.
Well, I do hear that a lot, especially, I hate to sound sexist, especially from the ladies, you know. Oh, I only buy that because my husband likes it. It's like, well, I tell you what, this is your project, and you need to do what you need to do in order to get better and to turn your life around here. He's a grown-up. If he really wants junk food, he can go get his own.
Definitely. I mean, sometimes you got to, you know, also be the biggest advocate for the person you're working with. You know, that situation, whether it's female for a male or male for female, that a lot of people tend to put others before themselves.
Yes, you know. That is a really good point. Clearly, you've done this once or twice before. You hear that a lot. And I think one of the primary reasons that people have a tendency to sort of not plan ahead is they don't put the time and attention into their own self-care and their own healthy preparation. And as I mentioned before, this is not something that takes an hour every day. It takes a minute or less. It's not a big deal. What I do is just coach people to get in the habit of taking that 60 seconds and making a plan so you're prepared for the next meal or the next day. Some people like to do it a whole week in advance. You know, Sunday's a good day for them to cook and prepare food for the rest of the week. And that works great too.
And if you're listening right now, if you're a coach, take Dan's advice and just take your clients to the grocery store. Take them shopping. Just pick a day, take one, take 20, you know, that'll make them feel special and that can make a really big impact in their life. I know that's something that I used to do, I haven't done recently, and having this conversation, I'm very motivated. Set a time up and take our wonderful clients at Octane AP to go grocery shopping. I think that's a great strategy. Now, if we can break it down into a couple steps that you'd take your clients through to get off sugar, what would they be?
Sure. The first step is to do exactly what we said. Don't make it easy to eat junk food. First step is to take all the obvious junk food out of your house and out of your pantry and out of your purse and out of your car and out of your desk at work and all that kind of stuff. So don't have sugar temptations handy. I don't try to get too picky in the beginning about the types of carbohydrates that people choose in the beginning. And I also don't try to get them to go sort of cold turkey as far as never having anything. What you can do in the beginning, though, if people have a habit of, say, having something sweet at the end of every day, instead of trying to completely eliminate that, start to make some substitutions and make some changes for what you're doing. So, like, instead of eating potato chips, maybe have a handful of strawberries, something that is still kind of sweet and might satisfy that craving, but is a lot more nutritious than cookies or a sweet roll. Does that make sense for starters?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Also, it just makes sense to kind of also see and how much you can accomplish. You know, if you think you can go to 90% without sweets, then go for it. But if 80% seems more realistic, being honest with yourself and seeing what you've done in the past, then that's probably should be a mark you shoot from.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the new normal concept. You know, you have to make these healthier changes and substitutions part of what you typically do. You have to work it in and make it sort of something that, okay, that's just how I do things now. So if you try to make too many changes up front or too drastic of a change, then people tend to fall back into old habits because it's too much at one time. So simple substitutions for starters become normal healthy habits, and then folks aren't thinking about, you know, it's like they're not doing anything different. That's just how they do it. And then you make another couple substitutions, another few changes, and pretty soon, you know, 6 months later, your normal is totally different than your 6 months ago normal.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to move to the last portion of the program. Are there any other steps you want to add?
I think, yeah, I would like to put out one more big concept. It's a lot easier to add healthy habits than it is to completely stop unhealthy habits. So instead of trying to say no to every piece of sugar forever, start to add a healthy habit of, for example, making sure you have a vegetable at every meal. And once that becomes normal, then make sure you've got protein every time you eat. And once that becomes normal, then let's start to take a walk after dinner 3 days a week. You know, and you just start adding these healthy habits so that you're never really trying to do a 180-degree lifestyle turnaround or one of these crash course makeovers, because that's never sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen, fortunately, those people who've been on shows like The Biggest Loser, and they lose a ton of weight, but then they gain it all back because they didn't learn, you know, something that can be sustainable. So unfortunately, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are going to be more advanced. So, you know, they're not going to be, really don't see them being, and definitely not the ones I've talked to, are really, you know, grossly overweight. But that being said, you know, I know a lot of athletes and people who are pretty good shape that still have very unhealthy sugar addictions or alcohol addictions, and maybe addiction's the wrong word, but definitely a lot of abuse of those foods or alcohol and so forth.
Yeah.
So it's good to make steps in the right direction, because you can still look relatively fit and having, you know, 4 candy bars a day or drinking after every run.
Well, and also I imagine that a lot of the listeners are actually engaged with the general population.
Yes.
Probably have a lot of fitness trainers, for example, who listen to this sugar-free me program is probably much more applicable to their clients as opposed to trainers or the athletes themselves. But maybe not. I don't know. I don't want to assume.
And then also people around us too, you know, even if you're not a coach, if you're somebody who, like you mentioned, I mean, they're kind of sabotaging their own, you know, fitness because they want to keep food in their house for their husband, or unhealthy food in their house for their husband. So listening to all this, you can take it in and you can really make it easier on yourself by getting that person, you know, your husband or your wife, you know, off sugar or to cut back sugar. So moving on to the last portion of the program, the high octane round. Dan, what is your favorite workout or exercise program?
You know, I like to do a variety of different things. So I enjoy the sort of the CrossFit style, which is, you know, lots of different skills, higher intensity interval training. You know, I may do knock out a few reps of the Olympic lifts and then do an interval on the punching bag, for example. I used to be a mixed martial arts fighter, so a lot of the stuff that I do for cardio intervals is like speed bag or heavy bag or jump rope or things like that. So I'll alternate some explosive strength work with those types of cardio intervals. That's a lot of fun. I also enjoy sort of almost more standard bodybuilding split stuff that I'll go through some of those cycles sometimes.
But you have a program not like CrossFit normally, right?
I do a lot of intuitive, what I like to do for fun right now. As we're recording this, I'm 47 years old, and I think probably most of my personal bests are already behind me. So I'm no longer a competitive athlete. And so most of my own personal exercise is just to stay athletic and to stay fit and healthy, as opposed to really putting together a detailed program to try to achieve some specific goals.
Love it. Staying fit. So you love hitting the bags.
I do. Awesome. I miss choking guys and kicking people.
What is your favorite workout or exercise program?
I like to do a variety of different kinds of things. Currently, I enjoy doing sort of explosive strength movements intertwined with higher intensity cardiovascular intervals. I used to be a mixed martial arts fighter, so I do a lot of like heavy bag work, speed bag work, jump rope intervals, and things like that. So I might do, say, some dumbbell snatches and then do 60 or 90 seconds of some jump rope and alternate those back and forth. So I do a lot of different mishmash of different things like that. But the higher intensity stuff is definitely the way that I like to go for strength training.
That sounds amazing. I love doing the dumbbell snatches when I am traveling at maybe a hotel gym when there's not a lot of equipment, you know, and
right
to pick from. Very cool. What is your favorite workout music right now?
Well, I might be a little bit embarrassed to say, but I am a big fan of the 1980s big hair bands.
Awesome.
You know, Ozzy Osbourne and Kiss. I just love that kind of stuff. So when I'm left to my own devices, that's what I like to listen to.
It's going to be on loud. I love it. And we got the Olympics coming up here very soon. What is your favorite Olympic event?
Oh, man, decathlon.
Nice.
I think that those guys, those women and those men are the most well-rounded, amazing athletes that there are. You know, these people are sprinting and jumping and throwing and doing hurdles and pole vault. I mean, it's just it's amazing the breadth of their athleticism. And that's, you know, kind of I sort of aspire to that diversity and ability myself. I'm envious.
I love it. And we had Ashton Eden on the show. It's been a little while, but
he won in 2012, so he's looking to get another gold. I hope he does well. He's probably my favorite.
Yeah, he's the man. Any last advice for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think I want to go back to the concept of creating your new normal when it comes to how you and how your clients are feeding themselves and treating nutrition. The whole point of sugarfreeme.online is trying to create the new normal. So whatever you do most of the time, that's what you get. And if your new normal is generally 80% of the time healthier, better decisions, then you're going to have an enormous improvement in body fat loss and healthier nutrition and better sleep and better lifestyle and all of that. Be proactive and not reactive with your food and with your training, too. You know, eat and train on purpose with intention and planning.
Love it. Thank you, Dan, for all the knowledge you shared with us, and I look forward to hearing about your programs in the future.
It has really been a pleasure, Jason. Thank you so much for asking me to come on.
Fellow athlete, now that you've gotten the key advice to take your performance to the next level, it's time to take action. Access tons of amazing sport performance information by visiting OctaneAthleticPerformance.com right now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Octane Athletic Performance.